All right, good morning, church.
Hey.
Good morning.
My name is Peter, and I'm glad you're all here today. Just getting situated. All right. Well, guys, there's a lot more up here than you can see. Last week, Nick finished up our series, Summer of Faith. I hope your faith has grown this summer. It was great. It was great to have so many different men of God come up and share, and just being able to learn. I know my faith has grown. We're moving on this week. You know, there's a lot of new things going on, starting with the church recently too, like passion groups.
Yeah.
Passion groups got started. How's your passion group going? Right. Good. Ours was awesome. Anna and I were doing our group, Holy Spirit, on the Bowen Student Center. Some students weren't back just yet, but it was great to just get started and just seeing people's passion to learn more about God and glorify God. So that's excellent.
Amen.
You know, there's other good things starting soon as well. This Monday is a special day because actually classes at ISU start again. And campus is back, and we're getting going, and we're fired up, and it's just so great. Anna and I are very excited. Please just pray. Pray for us. Pray that God does amazing things in the campus ministry this coming school year. I was praying, asking God this past week, you know, what is the most important thing I could talk about today? You know, what does the Bloomington Church of Christ need to hear? If I could only share about one more thing, what would it be? You know, if this is the last time I get to speak, if the Lord returns, or if I die and this is the last chance I get to speak before you, what would I share?
Come on.
I realized I wanted to share about what I'm most passionate about.
There we go.
I want to share about what I think is the most important thing to talk about right now. I want to share what the Holy Spirit's put on my heart.
Come on.
The title of my sermon is What Really Matters.
Come on.
There we go.
The first year after I graduated from the University of Illinois, I was a third grade teacher. And one weeknight, I was on campus at U of I in the Union. And I was at a Bible study. And when the Bible study ended, I felt my phone buzz, but I thought, I'll just check it when I get home. When I get home, I'll see. I drive home, lived with some different brothers in the church, and I'm in the kitchen, and I pull out my phone, and it's a text from Anna, my future wife. And the text says, she says, Francis Chan is preaching at Fullinger Auditorium on the Quad, on campus, tonight. I don't know if it's done or yet, but Susie and I are going right now. And I'm looking at my phone, and this is one of my heroes in the faith. This is a guy who I've read his books, I've heard sermons that he's preached. It would be so cool of me to get to meet this guy. And I'm scrambling, I'm thinking, oh, is it too late? Should I go? What should I do? And I thought, I don't want to look back and say, I didn't try. I didn't try to go see him. I didn't try to meet him. I want to at least try to hear him speak.
Yeah.
So I go into the room, the living room, my roommates are there, and I say, guys, Francis Chan is preaching on the Quad right now, on campus. Who wants to go with me? Nah. And they all just shrug me off. Okay. And I just dart out the door. And I get in my car, I drive back to campus, I run across the Quad to Fullinger Auditorium. And I go inside. And so I get inside the auditorium, and they're singing a song. It's the end of service. I missed the message. I'm like, oh man, missed it. After the song ends, one of the part singers on stage starts to pray. And I recognize his voice. It was Francis Chan. He prays, and then he walks off the stage, and he starts walking to the back of the room and out the door. And I'm thinking, there he's going. That's the guy I came. I want to meet this guy. But the service is still going. They're giving announcements. I was taught you respectfully. You don't leave until it's done. You got to sit there. But I want to go meet this guy. What do? I'm going to go meet this guy. So I left the service. And I'm following him. And there's this big open hallway. And I'm like trying to get through the people. There's a bunch of people. And I see him walking. And people are turning. And they see him. And their eyes just light up like, like he was radiant. He wasn't radiant. But they're looking at him, and he's walking through, and I'm trying to get to him, but I can't catch up. He leaves the door, and I follow, and he's just about to get into a car that was on the sidewalk of the Quad outside Fullinger. And I'm just about caught up with him. He's about to get in the car, and I just yell out, Francis. And he stops. And he turned around and he walked up to me and I shook his hand. I said, "My name's Peter. I read your book, Crazy Love. I hear discipleship. It's helped me so much with my relationship with God. Thank you for writing it." And he just said, "Thank you." We didn't really talk much. He got in the car and drove away. That night, though, I went home. And I come inside and my roommates are like, "So, did you hear him speak?" It's like, "No." They're like, "Oh, sorry. But I met him." And they're like, "Wow, you met him?" And I was just so excited. I had to teach third grade the next morning. I go to bed. I'm lying in bed. I couldn't fall asleep because I was fired up. And then I just went on and on. I was just so excited. I had perspective that night. Yeah. I had perspective on what was most important, my relationship with God mm-hmm. and loving God with all my heart.
Yeah.
I began to write a sermon that I called What Really Matters. And this is that sermon.
Come on.
Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40.
Let's go, Peter.
Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The greatest commandment in our life is to love God.
Yep.
A Pharisee tried to test Jesus with a question. Jesus perfectly understood the essence of the law. He had no difficulty answering. Jesus said to love God with all you have. Jesus lets us know that we're to love God first and to love Him with all we got.
Come on.
We're to love God, but He loved us first. Verse 37, actually, the Greek word that it uses for love there is agape. So it's the highest love. Love that's unconditional and sacrificial. We're to love God with our heart, so He's to be our desire.
Yep.
Love God with our soul, with the life that He's given us, with our mind, so our understanding, our strength to be this living sacrifice, to love Him with everything we have.
Come on.
It's interesting that Jesus was asked what is the greatest command, and then He also gives the second greatest command. Our love for our neighbor, it's connected to our love for God. Like Jesus would say even later in Matthew, in chapter 25, He says, "Whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you do for me." Today we're going to focus on love for God. Jesus said, "Love God." Do you love God? It can sound like a silly question. Of course. Most would answer yes. Is God your greatest desire right now? Or is it something else? Do you want children or grandchildren more than you want God right now? Maybe it's something else, making money, maybe a house, maybe being in the next stage of life. Is there something you want more than God? In Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love, he asked the question, "Would heaven be different to you if Jesus wasn't there?" See, a Christian, it isn't someone who's just trying to not go to hell. A Christian isn't just someone who wants paradise. A Christian is someone who wants to be with Jesus forever.
Right.
We are meant to love God with all we have. And then one day be with God in heaven. You might think, okay, so that's our calling. We're meant to love God with all we have. What does that look like, though? What does that look like in someone's life? If someone loves God. You know, someone who loves God, I was thinking of a few signs. Here's a few signs of someone who loves God.
Come on, Peter.
Someone who loves God spends time with God. We've all heard the phrase, how you spend your time shows what you care about.
Yep.
Right? If God is our desire, if he's who we're longing for, we'll spend time with him. We'll prioritize him in our schedule.
Yeah.
I think of David when I think of someone who loves God. When you read the many Psalms, most of them are David's Psalms, right?
Yeah.
We know David spent a lot of time with God. He spent a lot of time in prayer. We know David had a heart after God's own heart. It says in Acts 13. It says in 1 Samuel 13. There's a psalm that I love, Psalm 63, verse 1, and it shows David's heart. It shows David's relationship. See, in Psalm 63, the header, before I read the verse, the header on chapter 63, it says a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. So he's in the desert. And when you're in the desert, what's there a lack of? What do you really want? Water. You want water. Let's read this psalm. Let's see what David wanted. Psalm 63, verse 1. David said, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. What does David thirst for in the desert? God. I haven't spent a lot of time in the desert, so I'm going to use a sports analogy. Growing up, I played a lot of sports. In the summertime, me and my friends go out, play basketball, go out, just get dirty, you know, hit baseball, see who can hit a home run, playing soccer, all sorts of things, ultimate frisbee. When we play for hours, we just be drenched in sweat, stinky, come back into our parents' house, so sweaty. And what was the thing you want? You know, when you're playing sports for hours and hours, you want water.
Yeah.
That's what you're craving, cold water, not a soda, none of that other stuff. Like, water actually tastes better than anything in that moment. This imagery for thirsting for water, that's the same imagery David's using for his hunger for God. That's what it was like for him. That's just how he lived. He just always had that desire. Just for God, it was hungering in his heart. When you're in love with God, you're not content with just reading the Bible and just being with God in prayer in the morning.
Right.
You know, when you have a break or you have your lunch break, you're memorizing scripture. You know, at night when you put your kids to bed, you go back, you want to meditate on what you read this morning. You want to meditate on God's word day and night, like Psalm 1. You think about other moments. You know, when you wake up, you aren't thinking, oh man, I just want to sleep a little bit more. Someone who's in love with God, they're like, man, I can't wait to just go on that prayer walk. I want to just go be with him.
Come on.
I'm thinking about him. Through the night, you prioritize time with God in your schedule. What else? Someone who loves God is evangelistic. Acts 5, verse 42.
Come on.
Acts 5, verse 42. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ.
Yeah.
The apostles in this moment had just been flogged and threatened, never speak about Jesus.
Yep.
And this is their mentality right after that. No, day after day, house to house. Someone who loves God, they can't stop speaking about God. When you're around them, it's genuine. They just start talking about God because that's who they think about. They just can't help it. That's what the apostles were like. See, after that moment, they remembered their Lord. They remembered the one whom they love. They remembered Jesus who sacrificed his life for them. And they never stopped telling people about Jesus. Someone in love with God, like the apostles, they're sharing their faith. It's just a regular part of their week. Day after day, house to house. People know that's their love.
Come on.
You know, when a great movie comes out, people talk about it. When I was in high school, the biggest movie that came out was The Dark Knight, the Batman movie with the Joker. People talked about it. You know, what do people talk about when a new movie comes out? Have you seen it? Oh man, it's so good. You gotta see it. You gotta see this movie. And then what happens over time? Like, you think it's like, man, this is the best, this is always going to be the very best movie that I'm going to be very excited about. And then what happens a few months later, it's like, oh, but the new Avengers movie's coming out. And you're like, so excited about that one. You're like, man, we got to go see this. Let's go do this. This is what I want to see. This is what I want to do. And it changes, right? It dies out. Over time, it fades. But it's not that way with God. Someone in love with God never stops telling people about God. Not till they go be with him. They're always doing it. Someone who loves God says no to sin. Genesis 39, verse 9. This is going to be Joseph speaking to Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39, verse 9. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I go and do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph refused to go to bed with Potiphar's wife. Day after day she asked, he refused. Refused to even be in her presence. He didn't want to sin against God. See, when tempted with a sin, someone in love with God is like Joseph. And they say, how can I do such a thing? You know, someone in love with God, they aren't a perfect person.
Right.
But their motivation to not sin is their love for God. You know, instead of choosing sin, they run towards the one they love. They run towards God. They don't want to grieve God. They don't want to hurt that relationship. They just want God. Someone who loves God serves others. In John 13, we see Jesus serving. John 13, verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. See, Jesus served people because he loved them. Because that was God's will for his life. God's will for Jesus' life was to come to humble himself and to serve, and serve even to the point of death. Jesus served because he wanted to obey God and because he cared for us. He set an example that we should do as he'd done for us. See, when you love God, you care about what God cares about.
That's right.
God cares about people. If you love God, you love other people.
Yeah.
Someone who has love for God, you know, you see it and it's connected. Their love for God and their love for other people, there's this tie. You're eager to help those around you. And you know when you do it, when you help the least, you're also helping and you're serving Jesus. One more, lastly, someone who loves God longs for heaven. Philippians 1. Verse 21, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Philippians 1, verses 21 through 24. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Yep.
If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Mm-hmm. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. For Paul, to die was gain. Because then he got to go be with Jesus.
Yeah.
His desire was to be with Christ. Someone who loves God desires to be with God in heaven more than anything. They long for heaven because then they get to go be with the one who they love most. Paul says he wants to go to heaven, and why? He wasn't saying because no more sin, because it's a paradise. He was saying because then I get to be with Christ. That's why he wanted heaven, to be with Jesus. Jesus also said in John 17 that eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ. These are just some signs of someone who's in love with God. These aren't all of them. There's so many. When you see some of these, can you relate? Can you relate to the signs of someone who loves God?
Yeah.
I was thinking, what keeps people from loving God? What keeps people from having just this love where they love God with all they have? I'll share for myself. For me, I think a lot of times it's rooted in selfishness.
Yep.
You know, I choose to put myself first.
Yep.
When I need to choose to love God. You know, after I sin, I can reflect on my actions and think, okay, what happened here? What was the root? And a lot of the time, it's rooted in selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my thinking can get focused on what do I want to do,
yeah,
rather than what does God want me to do?
Come on.
I can go after accomplishing things because then I feel good about where I'm at in life or how I'm doing. This work trap that's everywhere in America. You know, the actions where I can feel good about how I'm doing, and then I'm just continually trying to stoke this selfish ambition in my heart. But enough about me. What keeps you from loving God?
Come on.
America is one of the hardest places on earth to love God.
Well.
It's hard because we have everything in the world, everything that the world could offer. Why do we need God? We have so many other things that you could love.
Yeah.
That's what Satan tries to tell us. We have access to so many things.
Yeah.
We start loving so many things that our love and our room to love God in our heart, it just gets smaller. Oh, I love this. Oh, I love doing this. Oh, I love watching this. Oh, I love having this in my life. And then our love for God, it just gets smaller and smaller. You know, we're filling our lives with hobbies, extracurriculars. We have so many possessions to take care of. We are a busy generation. Our schedules are getting more filled with stuff and less of God.
Yeah.
Instead of being like Paul, who just wanted to go to heaven, you know, what did he say later in Philippians? In chapter 3, he said, you know, I consider everything lost for knowing Christ Jesus. You know, to him, everything was like, man, that's nothing. That's rubbish. I just want to know Christ.
Come on.
I just want to go be with them in heaven. But what can happen is we can build such a paradise here on earth that we don't even want to go to heaven one day. We can love our life. We're like, man, I got a good thing going. I just want to keep this going. It's comfortable. It's easy. I like it. I like my life. And we aren't even thinking or longing like, man, that's going to be so much better.
Right.
You know, what did Paul say in Philippians 1? He said, by far it's better. We can end up loving the blessings rather than loving the one who gave the blessings.
Yeah.
We can end up loving those comforts, the climatized houses. I like air conditioning, right? Last night, I love air conditioning. When I got home, it was a wonderful night last night. And, you know, I love, you know, fridges full of food. I've never prayed, Lord, give me my daily bread. Give me something to eat today. You know, I've never prayed that. I'm rather thinking, oh, let me get food so then I'm set for this week or next week. That's more what our houses are like.
Yeah.
You know, we have this safe life. We live in safe neighborhoods and we have bank accounts and health insurance and all these things set up to protect ourselves where we aren't even like relying on God.
Wow.
We're just like, oh yeah, I got this. My material needs, I'm not even crying out to God for. I have a bank account for that. I have a fridge full that covers that.
Wow.
You know, I'll provide that. And it's missing pieces of our love for God. You know, I'm tempted with this comfortable life, guys. I can desire that. I can desire to just have things be this nice, cushy, just comfortable, you know, safe type of life. But when you follow God, it's not comfortable.
Right.
You know, God said not to love the world. Actually, if you love the world, he said you don't love him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. I want to talk about some ways to really grow in love as I'm coming to a landing here. Here's two practical ways if you want to grow in your love for God today. One is seek God. You know, when you spend time alone reading the Bible, praying with God, with this Holy One, and you get to know this perfect God, you'll fall more in love with Him. The more I get to know God, the more I'm just amazed. The more I'm like, wow, I want to be like Him. I want to be with Him. I want to know more about Him.
Yeah.
He's incredible. In Luke 5, verse 16, we get a little glimpse into Jesus' life while He was on earth. Luke 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So Jesus often spent time alone with God in prayer. That's what His life was like when He was on earth. And we've heard the common phrase, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, I read this verse and I see Jesus often spent time with God. If Jesus did it, we should do it too. I think about the apostles. You know, waking up some mornings, and I imagine Peter just waking up and, you know, scratching his head and looking around. And, where's Jesus? Matthew, where? Where is he? Oh, he's out praying. Oh, yeah, he always does that. Yeah, that's good. And just imagining them, you know, just being like, I really genuinely believe the apostles, they just knew that. They just knew that about Jesus. Man, Jesus often withdraws. He even took them with Him towards the end of His life on earth to go pray. They knew that about Christ. I really believe it. And it also set an example for having a relationship with God. You know, I think in my life, one of my favorite questions, I was even talking with a brother before church. I was talking to John, and we were just talking about our time with God. And it was so encouraging. That's one of my favorite questions. When I was a new disciple, I used to ask people. I used to ask, hey, well, how do you spend time with God? What does it look like? How much time? What do you read? What other things are you reading? You know, how do you pray? What's that look? I used to like just interrogate people about their relationship with God. When there was a guy who I looked up to, I think, you know, like my own parents, I would ask them questions. I would ask Larry Clipp questions. I would ask men that I wanted to mirror how I saw them going after God. And I would ask really detailed questions of how they get with God. And then I would just start trying that out and figure out what is great for me and God. That's one of my favorite questions. But one of the answers I hear so frequently, and I think this is one of the biggest challenges of Christians today. I go around and I've asked brothers, hey, you know, what are you doing for your quiet times lately? Hey, bro, you know, how's your relationship with God? You know, what have you been praying about a lot lately? And I hear, oh man, that's a good question. You know, honestly, I haven't been reading a lot lately. I don't really read the Bible. Yeah, I pray sometimes. I just haven't really been praying that much. And I hear these questions and they just break my heart. Because I want people to just, you know, spend that time. I just genuinely believe that it's life-changing.
Come on. Yeah.
You know, I think about heaven when I think about time with God. I think about if you don't desire to spend time with God right now, what will it be like when you're with God in heaven?
Right.
You know, if you aren't enjoying it right now, what's heaven like? You're going to be with Him all the time, forever. He's who we're chasing after, right? But sometimes people don't even want to like give Him their time now. It scares me.
Come on.
You know, there's times when I don't want to read the Bible. There's times when I wake up and I'd rather go ride my bike. But I can't name the last day that I haven't read the Bible and prayed. I can't remember that day. And I don't share that like pat me on the back. I just share that guys, it's changed everything. Like, I have notebooks that are filled of thousands of times that I've spent with God in the last few years. And it's changed my life. It's everything. Spend time with Him. And I think in the morning, I see the same thing every morning. I see me sitting on the couch. I look over and I see my wife, and she's spending time with God.
Come on.
You know, the thing I love most about Anna is that she loves God more than me.
Amen.
Every day. There's not a day. And I don't want this to sound, you know, legalistic or, oh, disciplined or, no, I just want to beg you. I just want to beg you, spend time with God.
Amen.
Please.
Yeah.
It'll change your life.
Amen. Come on, Peter.
Amen.
Angry.
That's good timing. That's good timing. You know, when I think about spending time with God, I don't want it to just be a discipline, like, oh, I got to do this. Or I don't want us, you know, spending time with God because, you know, we just feel, oh, like, oh, that's the right thing to do. Like, go spend time with God because you love Him, because you want Him. You know, when you spend time with God, don't do it just pursuing wisdom. Don't do it like, oh, I just want to learn as much as I can. You know, I just want to be filled with wisdom. You know, if I only came to you and just said, hey, you know, what do you know? What can I learn from you? I just want your wisdom. It wouldn't feel like a relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, other times, it's just like a study buddy. The way we talk about time with God, it's like, oh, what are you going to study out next? What you doing next? And we just talk about it like that, really flippantly. You know, and we can get around and just talk about our next things we're going to study out and just let our relationship with God, our time alone with God, just something we study. Oh yeah, I study this out with them. We're just study partners. That's it. Where's the relationship?
Right.
You know? Or sometimes it's just something I struggle with. That's what I hear is like, oh, my time with God, I'm just struggling. I just study out things I struggle with. Guys, we need to go to God for wisdom. We need to go to God for what we're struggling with. Absolutely, that's the best person we could go with, but that's so incomplete when it comes to a relationship with God.
Right.
It's a relationship.
Yep.
You know, when I spend time with God now, I'm reading through the Bible in a year, and I just sit down, and I pick a book of the Bible, I read, you know, several chapters, and then I go pray. And I don't have an agenda, I'm not seeking a spiritual high, I just want to be with the one I love.
Come on.
Right.
That's how I think about time with God, and it's taken me years to understand that. You know, I'm just starting to grasp this, and time with God is just incredible to me. It's the best part of the day.
Yeah.
It's a relationship. Have that relationship. It's your most important one.
Come on.
The other way you can grow in your love for God is to obey God.
Yes.
John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Go ahead to verse 21. "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Verse 23. "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Jesus said three times, "If you love me, you'll obey me."
Yes.
Jesus is speaking here about the Holy Spirit, the counselor that's going to come and help them obey and guide them. That can sound legalistic, though. If you love me, you'll obey me. I love you, Jesus. Why do I need to prove it? Instead, think of it like a father-son relationship. Think of it like a father-daughter relationship. You know, growing up, when I obeyed my earthly father, what did it show? It showed him love. It honored him. It showed respect. It's the same with the Heavenly Father. See, when you obey God, you're walking with God. You're experiencing God. You're seeing His character. You're seeing the truth as you put His word into practice. And you'll fall more in love with God. So to wrap up, church, I want to issue a challenge for us today.
Come on.
Something to do today. Not tomorrow, not pushing off. I challenge you to do this today. And I'll do this also. We're in this together, guys.
Yep.
The challenge is spend time with God and share it with someone.
Amen.
Spend time with God. Read one chapter in the Bible and pray after. And then go evangelize. Go share it with someone.
Yeah.
Someone you don't know, not someone right next to you and around in this room. Share it with someone. You know, ask them, hey, what do you think about God? Hey, would you want to study the Bible? Hey, how about come to church with me? Would you want to come to church with me? I go to this church. It's changed my life. Ask someone. If you've already done both of those things today, then you're done. Awesome. You can do it again, though. But amen. I haven't gone out and shared my faith today. But I will. I spent time this morning, I'm reading through Isaiah, and I was reading about fear of God this morning. And I'm going to go talk to somebody and see what they think about God before the sun sets tonight. You know, imagine what God can do when we're all loving God and we're sharing Him with the world. It's almost like we're bringing heaven down here to earth.
Come on. Yep.
What really matters is your relationship with God. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
Yeah.
As I read the Bible, it calls out to have a deep love for God. It's everywhere. God is the pursuit of our life.
Yeah.
Let's love God with all we have until one day when we get to be with Him forever in heaven. Amen.